opportunity to gather ourselves together once again to have an opportunity to worship and to praise his wonderful name.
Amen.
It's good to be here, especially after I've been out of commission for the last 3 weeks, last 2 weeks. God has blessed me to be able to keep on going.
Amen.
It's a wonderful thing. This morning, I'd like to take a look at Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 17. Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 17. I'd like to use as the subject of my message this morning, I am not ashamed. In Romans chapter 1, verse 1 through 17, Paul says, Paul, the bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations, for his name, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by some means, now at last, I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. For in the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. This morning I want to start a series through the book of Romans. It is one of the longest letters written by Paul to any of the churches. As with the book of James, one of the key words used again and again in this book is faith, which is appropriate because I have come to understand that there's much more to faith than simply believing. It's very clear that the Apostle Paul, formerly known as Saul of Tarsus, is the author from the very first verse. when he was in Corinth, around 57 to 58 AD, Paul wrote this letter to the church, which was composed of Jews and Gentiles who were in Rome. Apparently, he had a great desire to visit the believers in Rome because he had not yet been to Rome. It was very clear that Paul wanted to present the gospel to both Jews and Gentiles alike, to make sure that they understood that in Christ they are one. In chapter 3, verse 29, he even asks the question, is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. In this letter, Paul makes it a case for our justification being through faith and not through the works of the law. One of the problems the Jews had was they clung so much to the works of the law that they felt that that was the only way for them to be justified. But Paul is saying that our justification comes through faith. He has, on different occasions, had to deal with Judaizers who insist on new believers keeping the old law with all its ceremonies and restrictions. With that being said, it's important to note here that nowhere in this letter or anywhere in any of his other letters does Paul say that our justification comes by faith alone.
Man.
Faith gets your foot in the door. How you act on your faith is just as important.
Man.
Although faith is a central theme in this letter, it's not the only thing he covers. There's a great deal of talk about God and about his providing us the gospel, the good news, about how what Christ has done for us. He actually speaks on several different subjects, which is one of the reasons why this particular book of the Bible has become a great spiritual resource for many people throughout for the last couple thousand years, including myself. In this first section of Romans 1, Paul gives a small greeting, as we can see. He is greeting, from verse 1 through 7, he is providing a greeting to the church there. He touches, although it seems like he is, I mean, not just from the first 1 through 7, but from 1 through verse 15, it seems like he is just generally talking to them. But in this little bitty bit of a talk, he is providing some little nuggets of information that not only give us information about the gospel, but also about Paul himself. In verse 1, he not only refers to himself as an apostle, but as a bondservant. A bondservant basically was a slave. The word they use there in the Greek for bondservant is doulos, which means one who gives himself up wholly to another's will. This is those who were bondservants, they lived all for the purpose of their master, the people those who owned them. It was a common practice back in that day that when people got into debts that they could no longer pay, they became bondservants. It's a little bit different than the concept of slavery that we may think of today. But it was a common practice in the first century. This is one of the reasons some people today have gotten confused about the scripture and its speaking about slavery and how there are some points where they say where a slave isn't supposed to leave their master. But you got to keep in mind, their concept of bond servants, of slaves in those days, had a lot to do with the debts that people owed. Okay? And so in that concept, with that thought, it was necessary to say that people have to do the right thing and work off their debts. and this whole aspect of giving yourself wholly to another's will is very significant because it lets us know how Paul viewed himself. If there was anyone that understood how much God loved us and how much how high of opinion he has of us and what he has done to bring us to himself and how we are a part of a royal priesthood and saints called to God, it was Paul. He understood the value that we have to God, yet instead of holding a high-minded attitude about himself, he chose to think humbly.
Man.
We live in a world today that constantly encourages self-importance. Burger King's slogan used to be, have it your way. Now, I just, as a matter of fact, when I looked this up, they have changed it to be your way. They say it's targeted at millennials They say it reflects a new focus on customers' way of life rather than on the chain's food or service. And see, and that is the general concept today, is that more and more people are focusing on doing what they want to do, of living the way that they want to live. In his book, Against the Night, Charles Colson said, another poll sheds light on this paradox of increased religiosity and decreased morality. According to socialist Robert Bella, 81% of the American people also say they agree that an individual should arrive at his or her own religious belief, independent of any church or synagogue. Thus, the key to the paradox is the fact that those who claim to be Christians are arriving at faith on their own terms, terms that make no demands on behavior. A woman named Sheila, interviewed for Bella's Habits of the Heart, embodies this attitude. She says, I believed in God. I can't remember the last time I went to church, but my faith has carried me a long way. It's Sheilaism, just my own little voice. And a lot of people these days seem to be going that way. It's just doing what is comfortable to them. More and more people are focusing on just what is comfortable rather than on what God's word demands. But Paul says that he is a bondservant. He has chosen to surrender his will to the will of Christ. Sometimes it's good to just stop and do a little self-evaluation to see what kind of mindset you have. Does what you want take priority over what God wants? Do you compromise your beliefs to make things easier for yourself? How submissive are you really to the will of God? Paul was so committed that in the first verse, he said that he was separated to the gospel of Christ. So basically, Paul says that he has focused his life on sharing the good news of what Christ did for us on the cross. Romans chapter 1, verse 5 through 6 says, through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom also are the called of Jesus Christ. Now, the New Living Translation says it this way. Through Christ, God has given us the privilege and authority as apostles to tell Gentiles everywhere what God has done for them, so that they will believe and obey him, bringing glory to his name. And you are included among those Gentiles who have been called to belong to Jesus Christ. One of the things he hits on here is the fact that having faith carries with it not just the expectation of believing and trusting God, but it also carries with it the expectation of obedience, living how God says we should live. It's not enough just to say that you believe. If you're going to talk the talk, then you have to walk the walk. And a part of walking the walk is spreading the gospel. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20, Jesus gave the Great Commission and said, go and make disciples of all nations. And the most effective way to do that is by word of mouth. Amen. In the verses 8 through 9, Paul makes it clear that he truly loves the believers in Rome. Verse 8, he says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make a mention of you always in my prayers. Not only does he say that he is thanking God because of their faith, he has also said that without ceasing he makes mention of them in his prayers. You don't have to be an apostle or a preacher to share the gospel, but it does take having a genuine care and concern for the souls of other people. Amen. As far as we know, Paul had never been to this church. He didn't establish this church. And as far as we know, he had not yet been to Rome. And so yet he still is expressing a great love and care for these people. How often do we express this level of care for people that we have never met? Another thing Paul says in verse 10 is interesting. He says, making requests, if by some means, now at last, I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established. In verses 10 through 11, Paul said that he wanted to come to them and impart some spiritual gift and to help them to be established. Now, this is the same people that he said that their faith is heard of throughout the whole world. And the question that we must really ask ourselves is, do our prayers reflect a desire to bless the lives of other people?
Amen.
Or are our prayers simply focused on ourselves? Mm-hmm. Do we just focus on me, myself, and I? See, yes, the word does tell us to pray for what we need individually, but we can't forget about what other people need as well.
Amen.
And sometimes the best way we can help somebody else is to pray for them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Dr. Helen Roosevelt, a missionary to Zaire, told the following story. A mother at our mission station died after giving birth to a premature baby. We tried to improvise an incubator to keep the infant alive, but the only hot water bottle we had was beyond repair. So we asked the children to pray for the baby and for her sister. One of the girls responded, "Dear God, please send a hot water bottle today. Tomorrow will be too late because by then the baby will be dead. And dear Lord, send a doll for the sister so she won't feel so lonely." That afternoon, a large package arrived from England. The children watched eagerly as we opened it. Much to their surprise, under some clothing was a hot water bottle. Immediately, the girl who had prayed so earnestly started to dig deeper, exclaiming, "If God sent that, I'm sure he also sent a doll." And she was right. The Heavenly Father knew in advance of that child's sincere request, and 5 months earlier, he had led a ladies' group to include both of those specific articles.
Amen.
There truly is power in prayer.
Amen.
In verse number 12, he says that he not only wanted to go there to bless them, but he also wanted to be encouraged by them. You know, one of the reasons why I appreciate getting together with my brothers and sisters, both in worship and also in fellowship, is because people of the faith inspired me.
Amen.
You know, I mean, it's so much better. It's so refreshing to be around people who believe like you believe.
Amen.
You know, because sometimes being around the world can get on your nerves. You know, people who can and will inspire. I like being around people who can and will inspire me to keep fighting the good fight of faith. And I like having the opportunity to inspire people to do the same.
Amen.
Paul says in verse number 13, "Now I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles." There is a reason why the word tells us to pray if it be God's will.
Mm-hmm.
We don't always know what's around the corner. In all the planning that Paul had made to come to Rome, it's clear that he may not have known that he would eventually be beheaded in Rome.
Mm-hmm.
That is where he lost his life.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes we pray for things and we want things to come our way, but a lot of times we are simply not ready for what's coming. When we make our plans to do things, we want to do the things that we want to do in this world, even the good things. We often consider all the good things, all the things that could go right. But it's clear that we can't always see what's going to go wrong. That's why it's necessary to trust God, to put the circumstances in his hands. It's good for us not to complain that things are not going the way we want them to. Because God may be working things out in a way that you don't even understand.
Amen.
Paul says up to this point, he was hindered. How often have you prayed for something? or been planning to do something and it seems to not go through. Maybe, just maybe, God is keeping you from going through something that you were not even ready for. Maybe he has something better in store for you. A better relationship, a better job, a better place to live. God knows what's ahead of us and he wants us to have the best things. In verse number 14 and 15, Paul says, I am a debtor to both Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. In chapter 13, verse 8, Paul says to owe no one anything but love. Yet here he says he is a debtor. I think that is in large part because he was specifically set apart to be an apostle to the Gentiles. Acts chapter 9, verse 15 says, but the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. And 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16 through 19 says, for if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, I have been entrusted with a stewardship. What is my reward then? That when I preach the gospel, I may present the gospel of Christ without charge, that I may not abuse my authority in the gospel. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. Because he was called, Paul felt obligated, not only to God, but also to all people, to preach the gospel. He wanted to carry the word throughout the world, and he didn't care where he took it to. He wanted to make sure that all people had an opportunity to be to receive God's word, an opportunity to gain the salvation that God offers. He knew that everybody needed the word. As he said in Romans chapter 3, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Amen. Paul wore himself out preaching the word because he felt that he had a debt to pay to the whole world. Imagine what we can get done in this world if we had a fraction of that kind of commitment. He goes on to say in verse 15, in Romans 1, verse 15, so as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome. You have to keep in mind, at this point, Paul had been preaching the gospel for 20 years. Okay? So he didn't have to make himself ready because he was already ready. Okay? So shortly after he was converted, if you go back to Acts where Paul was converted, you can see clearly that he had a short time where he was, because the vision that he received from the Lord blinded him. And then he was trying to heal from that. And once he was healed from that, the very next chapter, it shows him going out to preach.
Amen.
He didn't waste any time. He got to the work of the Lord. Paul said to the Corinthians, after he received his sight in Acts chapter 19, he was preaching Christ in the synagogue. He was still learning everything he needed to know. Paul said to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 through 5, and I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear, in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Holy Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. He said he came in fear and trembling. Not because he didn't know what he needed. No, he was still concerned about doing the right thing for God.
Amen.
And sometimes we fail to do what we need to do for God because we don't want to make mistakes.
Amen.
And we don't want to seem like we don't know anything, but we got to keep in mind the Holy Spirit is with us always. Yeah. You know, we may not know everything that we need to know, that we think we need to know, but we can always teach what we do know. Yeah. We can always share what we have learned about God's Word. Sometimes we think about people like Paul and consider him to be so bold and so knowledgeable that we don't often consider the possibility that he had his own insecurities, mm-hmm. that he had to push through to deliver God's word, mm-hmm. that he depended on the Spirit to guide him. Yeah. Oftentimes what I found in preaching the gospel myself is that when I had a lot of fears when I started, and a lot of times you have to realize and understand it, that the Spirit is going to be with you. And one of the things that God told Moses when he was up on the mountain, when God came to him and gave him this commission to lead the nation of Israel, he said, you know, I'm not a man of excellent speech. God said, I'll give you the words you need to speak.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we don't think about the fact that God is with us in what we do for him. Even if you are not called to be a preacher of the word, I think it's necessary to ask ourselves, what have I done to make myself ready to share the gospel? Mm-hmm. Maybe I could learn to teach a Bible study. Maybe I could sing songs of praise to encourage others to draw closer to God. Maybe all I can do is set a good example for others to follow. Another thing to consider is that the obligation that Paul felt was not just a duty or task to be performed. It is clear by the way he spoke that he was eager to share the gospel. And like many ministers, myself included, we feel privileged to be able to share God's word. I think that's why Paul says in verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. To salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." There are a lot of things that people are too ashamed of to admit or share with others. For example, maybe you pick your nose when nobody else is watching. Maybe when you're driving all by yourself, you talk to yourself. There are some things that you just don't want to share with other people, okay? But Paul says that that's not the case with the gospel. He says that he is proud of it. He considers it an honor to present God's word whenever he can. Those of us who know Paul's life knows that he suffered a great deal in availing himself to preach God's word. He said if there was anything he would boast in, he boasts in his afflictions, because he went through a lot. And all of that to share the gospel. You know, I started to learn how to preach shortly after becoming a Christian, but it took me a couple of years before I actually committed to preaching. To be fully committed to preaching, because I really just didn't think I was where I needed to be spiritually. Mm-hmm. I kept feeling like there was so much that I had to do to grow to be stronger. I didn't think I was ready to go out there and try and teach people stuff. I didn't feel like I was worthy. But once I realized that none of us are truly worthy, that living by his word is what makes it possible for God to declare us righteous, then I was no longer ashamed. As I shared with Sebastian this morning, one of the things Paul says, he says that which he willed to do, he does not. That which he wills not to do, he does. All of us have issues. All of us have things that we're struggling to overcome. You know, this whole practicing righteousness thing, it's not a point where we can become perfect in this world. As it's been said, there is the practice doesn't make perfect. Practice only makes improvement. You can always do better than what you've done in the past. You can always go further than where you have gone. And so that's why it's necessary for, as the prophet Habakkuk said, the just to live by faith. Not just have faith, not just say you believe, but to put it in action in our lives, to make it a way of life. Of course, it's going to take time to be in good practice of the word. But contrary to what people say, you can always do better. Yeah. You know, you're not going to be perfect in this world. Mm-hmm. You can forget about that concept. Because you can do more and you can go beyond anything you've already done. But what about you? Are you ashamed of the gospel of Christ? The gospel shows us the depths of God's love. Mm-hmm. That he would send his only begotten son to die on the cross for all mankind. To give everybody an opportunity. Everybody. And I mean, even the, he said, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. Jesus died and was rose again, never to be bound by death ever again. Mm-hmm. But more than that, through his death, he makes it possible for all who believe in him to also have eternal life. This morning, we have that opportunity to gain access to that eternal life.
Yeah.
And all he asks us to do is to take the first step, to believe in him. Yeah. Believe in him. Repent of our sins. Confess Jesus as being the one true Son of God. And be baptized for the remission of our sins. After that, all it takes is for us to continue to live a life according to his word.
Amen.
Just be faithful unto death. That doesn't mean that you're not going to make mistakes. That doesn't mean that you're not going to have some issues. Because all of us are still striving to be where we need to be. That's the reason why we have the sacrifice of Jesus. It's so that we can always be covered by that sacrifice.
Amen.
This morning, we have the opportunity to do what God would have us to do, to be the kind of people that God can be pleased with. Mm-hmm. If we strive to live according to his word and strive to move outside our level of comfort and do his will, mm-hmm. What is the choice that you will make this morning? Whatever your choice is, let it be, consider it first in your heart as we stand together and sing the invitation song.